Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're on the radio and we have a room full of peeps in our room. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves and then we're going to go into Philippians 2, 5 through 11.
Okay, I'm Adriana.
I'm Michaela.
And I'm Karen.
And I'm Grant.
Yeah, Grant's photographing us, so it's a little nerve-wracking right now. And of course, Miss Tara and myself, Sandy.
It's so funny. We've been going through Philippians, and would you believe this is the fifth month that we're recording in Philippians, and we're only to Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11 is what we're going to be covering today. And we ended last time with the conversation that Paul was giving the challenge to the people of Philippi that they do everything without selfish ambition, just having them think on that. And so I want to sum up some things so that we can know where we have been, so that we can see where we're going, because it's going to be important for us to understand. When Paul went and visited Philippi, it happened in Acts 16. And in Acts 16, we've talked about this every time on the radio show, but in case somebody's new, there are three types of people he ended up leading to the Lord. He led Lydia, who was a very wealthy merchant who had like many homes, and she was Grecian. And then he led a young slave girl. And so somebody from poverty that was a slave that was being used in bondage. And then a Roman soldier, which would have been kind of like being the average Joe person here in America kind of person, and who was Roman. So three different cultures, three different education levels, three different walks of life, and all of them came to know the Lord. And these people, the people of Philippi, they are the people that have been consistent and faithful in serving Paul. And he is writing to them to encourage them, because here he is in prison. And when he was in Philippi, he was able to release a demon-possessed girl from her demons. He was unleashed from chains in prison and able to get out of prison free and see people come to know the Lord. And here now he's in chains and God's not releasing him. And so we've talked about the fact that every 6 hours he's chained to a new Roman soldier. And because of that, the entire Imperial Guard is coming to know the Lord. And now he has come to the point where most theologians refer to this section of scripture as, they call it the great kenosis, or the great emptying of himself. And it's Christ humility that is made evident. And we're going to do verses, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. So let's go and read that passage. The Bible tells us, "Make your own attitude that of Christ, who in existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave and taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to the death on a cross. And for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." May God honor the reading of his word. Pretty good. Pretty awesome passage. It's a pretty serious passage. One of the things I've been asking God, it's like, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? What does it mean? And so I'm just curious to hear from you guys what you think that means. Some translations refer to this as, what does it mean to have the attitude, to have the attitude of Christ? So I wanted to hear from each of you what your thoughts were.
Well, within this context, it seems to be saying basically humility, and that he was willing to take the form of a servant, like it says there, and just being willing to serve those around us and show God's love in that way.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Also the obedience of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be obedient like he is.
Absolutely. It's also like a choice, too, that you have to make.
So what do you guys think? I'm going to encourage you to talk. It's okay. They're all silent. They're like, we're not going to say a thing. Okay. Nothing? No? It's all good. All right. So to have the mind of Christ, that's the question I've been asking. And I've also been asking, do I have the mind of Christ? And that's going to be what we need to focus in on. Paul begins this section with telling them what they need to have, and then he breaks it down and he'll show them exactly what they need to have. Philippians 2, 6 through 8, NAC commentary, the New American Commentary, says that it's about Jesus. Those verses are focused in on him, and it's a focuses on his servanthood, and that it shows him as the actor, the one that's doing things. When we get to verses 9 through 11, it's actually about God the Father and how he exalts Jesus and how he is the initiator to make that happen in Christ's life because of his obedience. And so that kind of gives us a breakdown for the outline of what we'll be looking at. So to have the mind of Christ, I thought, well, what does the word attitude, because some translations say to have the attitude of Christ. And I looked up the definition of attitude. Before I do that, I wanted to, when you hear the word attitude, what do you think of?
Well, it can either be a negative or a positive, the attitude. But, you know, with Christ, it's his attitude was not self-focused, but focus on others.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same.
Yep.
Yeah. For some reason, I guess my mind immediately goes to the negative connotation. I don't necessarily, when I hear attitude, think, positive. Oh, let me have the mind of Christ. When I think of attitude, I think of the bad. But actually, the word attitude should have the positive and the negative. But I think culturally, we've kind of given it a negative connotation. Merriam-Dictionary defines attitude as the way you think and feel about someone or something, or a feeling or a way of thinking that affects a person's behavior. Mm-hmm. And so there's something that happens in our thought process, we have to understand, that affects our actions. So attitudes always reflect in our actions. So if I have a bad attitude towards somebody, it'll actually be seen in my actions. Mm-hmm. If I have a good attitude towards somebody, it'll actually be seen in my actions. Right. And it's amazing what you can read about people just by their actions, what they do, and what's going on in their thought process. And so it's a crazy thing. And then just thinking through that, I was like, are there other scriptures that might serve this? And the disciples one day were asking Jesus, you know, which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven when we're with you, in Matthew 20. And Jesus ended up responding to them, and I'm going to read it to you because it's pretty awesome what he says. He says in Matthew 20, verses 5 through 28, he says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over you, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But it's not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not to come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So in this passage, he's given a foretelling to what's going to occur and what will Paul's actually referencing when we look through this passage. Okay, so I'm going to state the obvious. When we think of attitude or the mind of Christ, it means to have the same thoughts so that my actions can be the same as Jesus. Jesus humbled himself, and because he humbled himself, God exalted him. Now, practically, that's easier said than done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a lot harder to do. And I've been challenged, I mean, because one, I'm praying through this and studying it and reflecting on it for weeks before we come in. And whenever I'm studying, preparing on something, immediately I find I'm tested in it as I'm asking God and I'm asking him to do a work in me. And so attitude checks, I can't even tell you how many times a day. I feel like I'm being attitude checked 1,000 times a day right now, because of the fact that it's in my mind and I'm studying it and I'm asking God for it. And the first, like, I'm going to confess my own sins up front. And so let's just get it out so we can move forward, because you have to see that I'm allowing God to do the work in me. And I was like, God, just help me to get this right. And I was the other day reading Psalm 63. And in Psalm 63, it's David's psalm as he's in the wilderness, and he is just pouring out to God. And at the very beginning of the psalm, he says, "I eagerly seek you, O Lord." Mm-hmm. And it's like the very first verse of the passage. And it goes into all these other beautiful things. But I thought, God, okay, I eagerly seek you. Is that for pure worship, or is it because I'm making so many requests to you? And it dawned on me, like in the last 24 hours, 30 hours, maybe even I would say a couple of days, that I've had so many requests come in that my earnestly seeking him, my eagerly seeking him, wasn't necessarily for the sake of being with him. It wasn't for pure worship. It was literally because so-and-so had this need, this circumstance was this, this situation was this. And so I'm in relationship with God. I'm walking with God, but it's all about the need and the want of something instead of just being in the presence of God for the sake of being with God. And I thought, okay, if I want to have, and it makes me tear up even thinking about it, if I want to have the mind of Christ, he says, I'm here to do the will of the Father. And he was always focused in on the Father. I need to get where my worship isn't just about what I'm bringing before him, but just pausing and just focusing in on him. I know this, but I fell into the trap.
Yeah. Do you remember the time that you challenged us to do the praise
the
and no
days.
Requests? Oh,
yes.
My goodness. That was hard.
Yeah, it was.
And it shouldn't be.
It was life transformational. And that's pretty much what I was convicted
right.
of. You were exactly right in that because I know better. I've taught on this. I've researched on it that God inhabits the praises of his people and that when we are focused in on the need, the circumstance, the people, the sin, the darkness, the want, the desire, all those things, it's good because he wants to know what's going on. But not spending time in worship of him, not focusing on his character and his name, which we're going to find as we go through this passage, it ends with, it's all about his exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
It is all about Jesus's exaltation. And so it is about him. And so we've got to make sure that that's right. So first conviction came, get your worship right.
Mm-hmm.
If I want the mind of Christ, if I want actions to be a reflection of my heart, then that's, I need to be in worship. The second thing is that the places I struggle the most are the places I should most be in the mind of Christ. And that would be with my husband, Greg, in the challenge of we take our spouses for granted. God, forgive me. God, forgive us. And that, you know, we go about our lives and we're on for others. But when you come home, you relax and you're attitude is not as it should be. And so Greg's been accustomed to me doing this because I do this for 24 years. But I'll just go back into seasons where it's like, okay, I just need to come and ask you for forgiveness again because I realize my attitude's been wrong. And he just kind of looks at me and he apologizes too because his attitude is wrong. And so the two most important men in my life, the Father and my husband, I can allow my attitudes to go wrong. If I get these right, the flow comes out right and natural in every other area. And so that's getting the mind of Christ. And then I find that quickly the other areas follow when those two are what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just fun going through that. And the reason is because Acts 3:19 promises that if we repent and turn to God, times of refreshing will be given to us. And he will give us Christ. And so we need to recognize that. Have you guys been challenged with your attitudes recently?
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
How about you guys? Any of y'all challenged with attitudes? You can at least say yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
This isn't a Snapchat. I've been teasing my
kids. This is not a yes and no thing.
I was teasing my son that I'm like, I send you a snap and you don't respond. So this isn't the snaps. Let's talk.
Yeah, this is pretty rare for these two, I'm thinking.
Michaela and Grant always have words.
Yeah,
I don't know why
they're silent. Grant did last time.
Yeah, Grant usually shares.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, Grant shared.
I'm sort of not near a microphone.
Well, put it in between y'all. Pull it up so that you guys can share it.
Okay, well, with attitude, like you guys were saying, it's always a struggle with things because I feel like people tend to think that when they change something within themselves, they don't change their thought process. Mm. They change what they do despite of their thought process and then try to just leave how they think the way it is and just act differently despite of it. And people just don't realize that they have to change that thought process to change their actions and that it's going to just make a complete difference in their life if they do.
It's so true.
Yeah.
And you know, Grant, for myself, it had to come from me taking the Word of God and putting the Word of God in place of the thought. So taking the thoughts. And so what I did with Psalm 63, allowing David's words, eagerly I seek you. And I was like, wait, God, in my thoughts, am I really eagerly seeking you? And it's like, okay, I gotta get back and pull that into the place it needs to be so that I can.
You know, it happens so you don't realize it until all of a sudden, bang, you know, you're thinking, oh my goodness, how did I get there?
Right, right. Yeah. Like, I couldn't list the days.
Yeah, no.
I could probably go back in my journal and figure it out. But I don't know. For me, to be messed up one day is too much. And I've always said, and this is the reason why I have significant time with God every morning, and I haven't given that up in any way, shape, or form, is because I think I can be such a heathen that if I am not in the Word and in prayer morning, I will fall so short of not having my mindset where it needs to be.
And that's also like growing in Christ, because if you have that thirst, like going to the Word, then you grow.
Right.
But if you don't have that thirst anymore, there's a problem.
Yeah, and to pray for it if we don't.
Absolutely.
Asking for it's good. Okay, so we've stated the obvious. And so it's have the attitude, Jesus humbled himself, and because he humbled himself, God exalted him. New American Commentary, I have lots of different quotes from different commentaries this time because this was, it was so intense what God was trying to teach me. I had to go to so many authorities to just get my mind on it. As much as we want to be like-minded with Jesus, he said, New American Commentary states, we do not start where he started from the throne of heaven. Our suffering will never reach the capacity of what Jesus did. As much as we want to have his attitude, as much as we want to, we cannot know what it is to suffer what he did because he literally left the throne of heaven. And I thought, that's astounding. So reaching the capacity of what Jesus did is not the point. The point is to have his mind, to be willing to allow the thoughts, as Grant was sharing, to have our thoughts be changed. And I found this wonderful answer, like I was searching out, and it came from allaboutfollowingjesus.org and knowing the mind of Christ. And so they give simple things about, obviously, you know, getting into the Word, allowing that. But asking God to increase our faith, allowing our faith to be challenged in such a way that it's not where we're holding on to it, but we're allowing God to say, okay, let's go to the next level in this area. And then allowing the Word to penetrate and ask us hard questions. And that means sometimes it's serious and it's deep, and we have to be willing to allow God to do what he's going to do. And so you need to come back next week so that we can hear more about what we need to do to have the mind of Christ. God bless.